Okay, we'd like to share some post-Purim thoughts from Lakewood. Mainly they're from Matasio Solomon Shlita, the Mashgiach. But Mirchem, at the end of this year, maybe something also from Rav Malkiel Kotler and Rabbi Eidenson. So I was mushba from the Purim that I spent in Lakewood. Actually, what I'm going to give over from Rav Matasio Solomon, I heard the week before Purim, when Rav Matasio Solomon came to Muncie. Lakewood Yeshiva started 2 years ago a Muncie Shabbos. They go around, right. The Rosh Shivas go around to Borough Park, Far Rockaway. Anyway, Muncie now is on their itinerary every year, and Rav Solomon could not make it. He, for whatever reason, he couldn't make it. An onus, it was impossible. So Rabbi Rakowski, who introduced him at Shalashutis when he spoke in Yeshiva Sar Sameach, said that another person would have said, I couldn't make it, I'm sorry, it was impossible. Otherwise, but Rav Solomon said, if I was supposed to come and I couldn't come, I have to make it up. So he came by himself last week, a few weeks after the Lakewood Shabbos in Muncie, and he made up what he missed. So first of all, so he had Friday night. He had in the Chasheva Askin Rav David Bodner's house. He had an Onik Shabbos. He spoke there, and then, as I said before, he spoke Shalashudis and Yeshiva Or Smech. So what I'm going to give over is from memory. I wrote it down right after Shabbos, but in case there's any error, it's based on my memory. But hopefully, I think most, if not all, is accurate. So first, Rav Rakowski said an interesting thing when he introduced Rav Matzio Solomon. He brought from the Chovas Halvavos. The Chovas Halvavos says that a person who influences a rabbim, like Rav Matzio Solomon does, not only does he influence 6,000-7,000 Bachurim and B'nai Kol in Lakewood Yeshiva, but he speaks in many places and he influences people all around the world, we could say. So a person like that is greater than a great... The Chovas Halvavos says such a person is greater even than a person who could be who would be on the level to be a Navi. Why? And the Chovas Halvavos gives a very simple explanation. A person who would be on the level to be a Navi, but he doesn't influence other people. He works on his own Torah. So he gave a mashal, Rabbi Rakowski brought it into modern day example. You know, they have these Hummer cars from the Iraq War, these very strong cars. So they go for $60,000, let's say. So a person is in the selling Hummer cars, and he sells a few a year. On each car, he makes $20,000, $30,000 profit. You have another fellow who sells pencils. On each pencil, he makes a penny. But he sells millions and millions of pencils a year. When you figure out the math, even though he only made a cent on a pencil, but from the millions and millions of pencils that he sells over the year, it's worth more than the few Hummers that this car salesman sold. He makes more money. So it's the same thing in Ruchnius. If a person works on himself, he's on the level to be a Navi, very great. That's like the Hummer. But if he influences other people, and he thousands and thousands of people together, the power of a tzibur, the power of a large group, outweighs the greatness of one person who's just by himself. So that was a beautiful introduction of Rabbi Matasio Solomon. So Friday night, Rabbi Matasio asked the following question. And these are lessons from Purim, which, as I said, we can learn from them for a whole year round, because we are now post-Purim. The Rambam asks the question, why is there no Isser Bal Tosav on Chag HaPurim? We know you're not supposed to add any mitzvahs to the Torah. So the Rabbanan made a new mitzvah, which we don't have in the Torah, called Purim. How, there's an Isser, there's a prohibition to add mitzvahs. Here they seem to be adding a whole new mitzvah. We have Shlach HaManes, Matanas Avyayinim, the Suda Purim, Kriyas Megillah, four mitzvahs actually that we do on Purim itself. So why isn't that considered adding to the Torah? So the Rambam answers that if Chazal would have said, there's not 613 mitzvahs, we are adding Purim, we're going to make 614 mitzvahs, then you would be correct. That would be Bal Tosav, that's prohibited. The rabbis, the Chazal, did not say that we're adding another mitzvah to the Torah. We're adding a mitzvah from the rabbis. And the purpose of our mitzvah from the Rabbanon is, in fact, to strengthen something that's written in the Torah. Says the Rambam, what is the Chag of Purim strengthening? It's strengthening a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, Ki mi goy gadol, is there any other great nation? Asher lo yelokim krovim elov, kashem elokeinu, that has Hashem close to them, like Hashem, our God. B'chol kareinu elov. Whenever we call on Him, Hashem answers us whenever we call on Him. That's the whole story of Purim. Bnei Yisrael were going to be annihilated by Haman or Russia, and they did tshuva, and they davened to Hashem, and Hashem listened, and He saved them. V'nahapachu, and it came out that we were saved. So that's the lesson. So Chazal are not adding a yontif by Purim, but they're using Purim to strengthen that a person should see, you call out to Hashem, Hashem answers. So Rabbi Matisyol Solomon asked that, I have a question. He said, if I wouldn't have an answer to this question, a good answer, people might say my question is really apikursis. It's like going against the Torah. It's not having a moon in Hashem. What's the question? The question is this in fact true? What the Rambam says, what the Pasuk says, Ki mi goy gol asher lo elikim krovim elov, kashem elikenu, b'chol kareinu elov, that Hashem answers us. He says, take the Shoah, where unfortunately 6 million of our brethren were killed. There were Jews who opened up the Oren Kodesh, and they screamed to Hashem, and they davened with all their might and power, and they weren't answered. They were not saved by Hashem. They died in the Holocaust. So we can ask a question. What do you mean that Hashem answers us whenever we call? It seems that's not true.
Could say no.
What's
His
that?
Answer
His answer.
No.
Okay, maybe one answer. Okay, you could. There are. His answer could be no. His answer could. Every tear that is dropped, it might not help the person himself, it'll help his grandchildren. There are various answers. But Rav Matisyahu Solomon brought a Maral Miprag. This Maral is found in the Chedushei Agodos, HaMesech, the Yevamos, Daf Samach Beis, Amid Beis. The Gemara there says as follows, Ho'oyev Eshchenov, if someone loves his neighbors, V'amakarev Eskroivov, and he draws close his relatives, V'hanosei Esbas Achoso, he marries his niece, the daughter of his sister, and he lends money to a poor person when the poor person doesn't have money to live. All of Akosav Aymer, the Pasuk says about this person the following words, Oz tikra v'Hashem yane, you will call out to Hashem, and Hashem will answer, Tishaveya, you'll shout to Hashem, v'yomer hineni, and Hashem will say, here I am. So the Maral explains, why, if you do all these things here, you love your neighbor, you bring close your relatives, you marry your niece, you lend money to a poor man, why are you zocha to Hashem listening to you when you call out to Him? So the Maral says, and these are his words, Yesh loch ladas, you have to know, Ki roi sheyia ha'odom dovek u'mischaber el hashaychem elov. A person has to be close to the people who are close to him. V'chol elu shaychem ela adam. All of these that we mentioned over here, these people, meaning your neighbors, your relatives, your niece, even the poor man. Ki hamalve la'ani sela b'shas dochkai. When you lend money to a poor person, you're lending it to your brother. Ki ha'ani nikra achicha. In the Torah, a poor man is called your brother. V'chol mitzvah tzedakah v'alvo liyisrael mipnei sheyisrael u'achim. You know why I have a mitzvah to give tzedakah to this poor person or lend him money? Because he is my brother. The Torah calls him my brother. Therefore, if you are close to all these people who are close to you, the pasuk says, "Oz tikrav Hashem yaneh." Hashem will listen to you when you call out. Dichsiv, and now the Maral quotes the pasuk that the Rambam quoted before. We said, what is Purim? Purim is not an extra mitzvah, chas v'shalom, to the Torah, but the opposite, it's a yontiv where we are strengthening a principle of the Torah. And the principle is, you call out to Hashem, he answers. That's the pasuk the Maral brings. Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elikim krov melov. Now, here's the point. This is all mida keneged mida. Hashem acts with us the way we act to him. Kasher hu mekarev es kroiva v'shchenov, when you bring close your relatives and your neighbors, oz Hashem yizborach gam ken karev loy. Then Hashem acts to you like a relative also. Kishen shehu mekarev es hashayach mekroiv melov, just like you bring close those who are close to you, kach Hashem yizborach shemei akroivai. Hashem listens to his relative. When you go to someone and you're a relative, he will do things for you that he wouldn't normally do to other people. When a relative comes to ask you a favor, if another person would come to ask you the same favor, you might say no. But a relative comes to ask you a favor, you'll if at all possible, you will do it. You'll go the extra mile for a relative. So if you treat your close people as they should be close, then Hashem says, they're related to you, I'm related to you also. And the Medrash in Devarim says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Kroivchem Ani. Hashem says to the Bnei Yisrael, I'm your relative, Shenemar. As the Pasuk says, Asher loyal akim kroivim alav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Nikra Koroiv Li Yisrael. Hashem is our relative. We say to Hashem, Avinu Malkeinu, he's our father, he's our relative. The im adam mekarvis kroiviv, es asher roi lekarev, nechshav gemkein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu korve lov. But the im merachek oisam, v'doiches kroiviv, eich yeh Hashem Yisbarach korve lov, v'yano yisai b'korve lov. If you push away those who are close to you, how do you expect Hashem, mida keneged mida, to listen to you when you're calling out? You know why Hashem listens to you? Only because you're related to Hashem. Hashem brings them close. The Maral gives us this yesod. We said before Hashem answers our cry. And we ask the question, but it doesn't always look like Hashem answers our cry. The answer is, there is a condition attached to it. The condition is that we are close to our relatives. Whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a relative, whether it's your niece, you're marrying your niece, whether it's lending an ani money when he's poor, and an ani is called achicha, your brother. These are all cases of relatives, of people who should be close to you. Unfortunately, many people, maybe they're makariv rechokim, they're makariv people that are not close to them, and their own family, they don't have time for their own family. That's not, then you can't expect Hashem to have time for you, to go the extra mile for you. Oh. Now, based on this, Matisyahu Solomon explained a pasuk in the Megillah. The first time we meet Mordechai, Mordechai is introduced to us. Ish Yehudi, Hoyesh B'shush Shavu, Shmoy Mordechai, And it, so we would expect, I think that Mordechai was the head of the Sanhedrin, or he was definitely a member of the Sanhedrin. He was an awesome Talmud Chacham. So you would think, would say, who's Mordechai? Mordechai is the from the heads of the Sanhedrin, or maybe the head of the Sanhedrin. It doesn't say that. You know what it says about Mordechai? Vayehi omenes Hadassah. He raised Hadassah. Who is Hadassah? He Esther. That is Esther, Bas Dodo, his uncle's daughter, and others his cousin. Ki ein lo avoim. She is a Yesoma. She has no father or mother. Ubemois avia v'ima. And when her father and mother died, Lacha Mordechai loy levas, he took her for a daughter. And some say that he actually married her. Yeah. That he married her, right? Yeah. So why is it so important to tell this attribute of Mordechai, what he did with Esther? So the Targum Sheni says a very interesting thing. We know it says in the Megillah that Mordechai was in Eretz Yisrael, but he went into Golas Bavel. Asher hegla meYerushalayim im hagola, asher hegla soim Yechonia melech Yehuda, asher hegla Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar brought into Golas Mordechai with the rest of Klal Yisrael. But what most people don't know, I didn't know it until I heard it from Matisyahu Salman, that is that Mordechai, after he went into Golas Bavel, the Targum Sheni says he had such a tshuka, such a desire to go to Eretz Yisrael, to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, that on his own, he didn't wait till the Bnei Yisrael went back at the end of the 70 years of Golas Bavel. He went back by himself to Eretz Yisrael. But when he was in Eretz Yisrael, that's what the pasuk says, that uvemois avia v'ima lakha Mordechai labas. He raised a yisayma. He said, I am steiging, I am gaining in Eretz Yisrael, but I have a yisayma. My cousin is a yisayma. She has no father or mother. So he dropped living in Eretz Yisrael. He went back to Bavel, and he raised or even married Esther. So in that schus, why was Mordechai Zoche to be the leader of Klal Yisrael? And how was Klal Yisrael Zoche to annul the gzeira of Haman, Lahashman, Laharag, Eskola Yehudim? Because Esther said to Mordechai, Lech Knois, Kola Yehudim. Haman said to Achashverosh, I'm Mefuzer Meforah. This is a nation that is divided and dispersed. And the Chazal say, they add one word, B'machloikis. There's arguments. There's fragmentation amongst the Jewish people. There's no Achdus. So Esther said, we have to do tshuva. Lech Knois, that's Kola Yehudim. Gathered together all the Jews. And who was the leader? There was Esther and Mordechai. They were the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And Mordechai, by his own example, he was ready to give up his own spiritual ruchnius, his advancement in spirituality, living in Eretz Yisrael. No, I have to be makarei v'skroivav. I have to bring close those who are related to me. I can't forget that I have a yisayma. I have to take care of her. That's why it says in the Megillah, not that Mordechai was from the heads of, or the head of the Sanhedrin. It says that Mordechai remembered his family. He remembered Ben Olam Chaveroi. And that's why Rav Matisyahu said, what are the mitzvahs of the day of Purim? The mitzvahs are Shlachmonas, Matanis Levyonim. You know, it's in, I read Rabbi Avi Shafran, I think that's what his name is. He writes, now he used to write for the Aguda, and now he writes in Ami magazine. He says over a story of a cook, an Italian cook. One day, it was the day after Purim, I think he writes. He came in early into the Beis Medrash where he was learning, and who does he see in the Beis Medrash? Nobody was there yet. He sees this Italian cook looking at some svarim that were written in English. And he says, you know, why are you here? What are you doing here? She says, you know, I'm interested in becoming a Jew. And he says he doesn't think she ever became a Jew. But even though she was interested in becoming a Jew, he said, why? She says, Purim. She says, in her lifetime, she has seen many people get drunk. But she's never seen so many people get drunk And that there's, by the people that she's seen get drunk, they fight, they kill each other, they're hitting each other. And here, when they get drunk, she sees that what it says, a person is recognized with his kaisai. You can see when a person drinks, his inside, nichnas yayin, yetze soy. The wine goes in, the secret comes out. There's no inhibition. So when the goyim have no inhibitions, they kill each other. When the Jews have no inhibitions, they love each other. They show their achdus for each other. Everybody's hugging and kissing each other, right? As you've seen in all the drunk people that you saw in Purim. But that's, so it's a very, very, very interesting point. So, so that, the Klal Yisrael was zocha through the leadership of Mordechai, through the achdus, through the matanis lev yadim shachmanis, and the meforshim explain that that's the reason for these mitzvahs. The reason is to bring unity and harmony between Jews. I once said that that's why matanis lev yadim brings harmony between people and poor people. But what about rich people? One opinion says that you should give shachmanis to an usher, to rich people. Because you did already harmony with the poor people. You gave matanis lev yayinim. Don't forget the rich people. We have to have achdus with everybody in Klal Yisrael. So matanis lev yayinim, maybe you should even bedafka give, according to one opinion, it seems maybe bedafka to give it to a rich person. There's a ritva in Masechta Megillah that says this, that la'asher. Give them, you gave matanis lev yayinim. Now give shlachmanis ishlerei ha'asher. The rich one, that this is all fostering goodwill and achdus in Klal Yisrael. And he says, with this, Rav Matisyahu said, we understand the last pasuk in the Megillah. The last pasuk, a very strange pasuk. It starts, it says like this, Ki Mordechai HaYehudi, because Mordechai Yehudi, Mishnah LeMelech Achshverosh, he was second to the King Achshverosh, V'gadol HaYehudim, he was great amongst the Jews, Doresh Tov La'amoy, he spoke well always for his people. V'dover Shalom L'chol Zara, he spoke peace to all his children. That's how the Megillah ends. Now we know the word ki means because. So because means you're giving a reason. We don't know what the, like if I ask you a question, you answer because this and this and this. What's the question it's trying to answer? So Rav Matisyahu said the question that they're trying to answer is, in what merit did the Jewish people deserve to get saved on Purim from what Haman did? The merit was key because of Mordechai Yehudi, by his example. What was his example? Doresh Tov L'amoy. He all his life, he always tried to do good to the Jewish people. But he didn't forget his own children. There are many people, they come, they're big askanim, they help everybody. When they come home, they're knocked out, they're tired, rightfully so. They go to sleep, they have no time for their family. Tomorrow they have to get up to help somebody else. But what about your own family? Mordechai was not like that. Mordechai was doyrish toiv la'amoy, v'doyver shalom l'chol zaroy. To his own children, he didn't forget about his own children. Like Mordechai is his yesoima, his cousin, basa choysoy. Esther, Bas Doidei, his uncle's daughter. He didn't forget about her. That's his relative. You have to be makariv. Those people who are closest to you, many times, we have the least time for them. We have to be makariv them. And then, if we're makariv them, and that's chus, Hashem becomes our relative. And he listens to us, and he gives us special attention like you do when you have a relative. This is what Rav Matisyahu said Friday night. Now, when I was sitting, I had this chus to sit right next to Rabbi Matisyahu Solomon. When I was sitting there, I asked him a question. We know it says, "Mishenichnas Ador Marbin Besimcha." When Ador comes in, yeah, you increase simcha. So I said, you know, this was just after the tsunami and the earthquake in Japan. Thousands and thousands of people got killed. And this happened in Ador, not even Ador Aleph, it happened in Ador Sheni. And then there was a tragedy in Muncie, a young, a very chashuv Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Kolotsky Shlita. He lost his wife at a relatively young age. So I asked, and this happened all in the first week of Adar, second week of Adar. So I, So I asked him, how does this fit in? Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha. So he gave me an answer when I was sitting next to him, very short. And the answer he gave me in short, he elaborated on the next day at the Shal Shudas that took place in Yeshiva Or Samech. So this is what he said. Briefly, he told me, you have to know what does it mean, Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha. If you know what the real explanation of Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha, then you don't have any question. In other words, he said the following. He said, we know by Av, Mishenichnas Av, Memaitin Besimcha. When Av comes in, we go down in Simcha. And there, the Shulchan Aruch tells us clearly what we have to do. We're not allowed to eat meat and drink wine. We're not supposed to buy very expensive, unless it's for a wedding that you need it, very expensive things that are going to make you in a state of tremendous joy. You're not supposed to buy all kinds. We don't take, we limit how much showers and swimming, all which are pleasure from water. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us exactly what we have to do to lessen our simcha. Rabbi Matisyo asked, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't tell us, what do we do to add to our simcha? What does it mean? Every day you should take an extra, you know, schnapps, an extra, you start out the first day of Adar with one thing of whiskey, and the second day you take two. And you like the Hanukkah menorah, you know, you go up and then you're drinking a whole ball of whiskey at the end. Is that what Marvin Besimcha means? So he said, no, it does not mean that. And his opinion is that Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha means Simcha Shel Mitzvah. The Simcha of doing a mitzvah. And he brought a proof from the Megillah. In the Megillah it says, Vo'ir Shushan Tzol of Esamecha. The city of Shushan was full of joy. And we would think the next pasuk would tell us exactly what that joy was when Haman was defeated, his 10 sons, and he were hung up on the tree. What's the next pasuk say? It sounds like it's telling us the simcha. It says, Laihudim, which we say Avdallah every week, Laihudim, I say Oira, Visimcha, Visasan, Vikar. Right? Sounds like different kinds of joy. But Chazal say that each one of these words means something else. The Simcha is Yontiv. Laihudim, I say Oira. Oira, Zu Torah. Oira is Torah. Light is Torah. Simcha, Yontiv. Right? Sosain, Mila, Bris Mila. V'yikor, honor, zu tefillin. So it comes out that what the Pasuk is describing is really not joy and ecstasy as we think. It's not an extra schnapps glass, but rather it all has to do with simcha, shal mitzvah. And he explained, because Klal Yisrael understood that even though Haman wanted Lahashmi Lahargala Abidas Kola Yehudim, he wanted to destroy us physically, that we should lose our bodies and get killed. But actually, what was the fight all about? It was spiritual. Because what's the purpose of your body in this world if not to perform mitzvahs? The whole purpose of this world is to do mitzvahs so that you get the eventual great pleasure of Olam Abba, the spirituality of Olam Abba. So, therefore, they knew when they're going to celebrate, their celebration has to be a spiritual celebration. Oira, Torah, Simcha, Yontiv, Sasin, Mila, Yakor, Tfilin. Because that's really what this fight was all about. Now, he says, what does it mean to have Simcha Shal Mitzvah? Now that we define. So, this will answer our question. You can have a tsunami. You can have, unfortunately, someone's wife is nifter. But a person in every situation that he is, even in the hardest situation, he knows that Hashem still wants him to do mitzvahs besimcha. So that mishenichnas adar marbin besimcha, that goes on regardless what's happening in the world, what's happening in a person's personal life, but he has that obligation, and we're going to soon see it shouldn't be obligation. It should be his greatest joy. He's living another minute. A person's life is every minute an opportunity to serve Hashem, to do mitzvahs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Meforshim explain that what does it say? What do tzaddikim do in the next world? There's no eating, no drinking, there's no Coca-Cola. What is there? Tzaddikim yoishrim v'treseim v'rasheim v'nenin miziv hashchina. The tzaddikim are sitting, their crowns are on their head, and they're having pleasure from the spirituality of HaKadosh Baruch of the Shechina. Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. The spiritual ecstasy that we have on Shabbos is a little 1/60th of what olam haba is all about. Now, if a person does mitzvahs because he has to do it, but not because he wants to, not because he enjoys to do it, not because he has simcha, so that's what it says in the Teuchicha. It says, Tachas asher lo yavaritos Hashem lekecha besimcha v'tuv leivav. You know why this all is happening? It's happening because you didn't serve Hashem with simcha. So one pshat could be you didn't serve Hashem at all. But the Rambam, the way the Rambam learns, it means you served Hashem, but you did it with a growl on your face. You didn't do it with joy. You didn't do it with realization that every second of your life is a chance to serve Hashem. The Rambam in the end of Hilchas Lulav says, "Hasimcha sheyisameich ha'adam be'asiyas ha'mitzvah uba'avas hakel shetziva ben avoyda gedoylohi." The simcha that a person has to do when he serves a Kaddish Baruch Hu and does his mitzvah is a big job. V'chol ha'mineya atzmai misimcha zu, whoever prevents himself from experiencing this joy, royally parmimenu, he really deserves to get a patch. Shenemar, tachas eshalo yavadas shem lekecha besimcha v'tuv leivav. So Rabbi Matityahu Solomon said, it seems from the Rambam there's no neutral. You can't be in the middle. In other words, I don't have simcha shal mitzvah, but I don't have the opposite either. I'm somewhere in the middle. There's no middle ground. In other words, if you are not besimcha, then you're in the opposite of simcha. If you don't exhibit simcha when you do a mitzvah, then you're just the opposite. And unfortunately, the whole teichicha can come because of that. He brought a sefer ikrim that if a person does a mitzvah without simcha, it's chas v'shalom like rebelling against the king. He brought down that simcha shal mitzvah is Hashem is inviting you, please sit at my table. I want you to, like the tzaddikim, who are going to sit in front of Hashem in Olam Haba, when you have a mitzvah to do, every day you have a mitzvah to do, Hashem says, here's another chance for you to sit at my table. Now, but if you do it with a frown on your face, you're like Hashem rebelling against the king. Chazal, bring a marshal. There was once a big party that the king had, and the whole castle of the king was very filthy from the mess, probably we have after Purim. That's what the castle looked like. So he told two of the servants of the king, please clean up the mess. So one, whoa, I have a chance. The king is asking me I'm going to do what the king, I'm the servant who was called upon, jumps up, runs and starts cleaning up. The other one does it also, but you could see on his face that he is not enjoying 1 second of this cleaning up. So the one who's not enjoying it and shows the king, I'm doing it because I have to. I'm going to get my head handed to me. So that person is really rebelling against the king. Because you have a chance to serve the king with joy, and you're not doing it. That's chashon, like rebelling against the king. And then Rav Solomon said a very beautiful thing from his Rebbe. He didn't say who his Rebbe is, but I heard that his Rebbe is Rav Elia Lapian, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rav Elia Lapian says, this is how a person should approach simcha. You should approach simcha of a mitzvah like you approach life. What is the definition of life? His Rebbe asked. And his Rebbe answered, life is something that you can never get enough of. You never have enough of it. And what every person's life is different. He gave an example. This was in the day when they invented the Walkman. So today they have the iPods. So you have this guy going around with listening to music. So somebody goes over to him and asks him, do you have music at home? He said, oh, at home? I have thousands of tapes and MP3s or whatever. I have thousands of them. So they ask him, so, you know, just walking from your house to the store to buy groceries, you have to go in the street with it also? So he says, you know, I could, like you would say, yeah, man, you know, like, this is my life. The music is his life. So he can't be parted from his music from his house to go to the grocery store. So, or he says, people with sports, people are into sports. They know every statistic from before baseball was invented. They know every, you know, every player and every they are fanatic, a fan. Fan means he's fanatic. He lives baseball. That's his life. So whatever you live, you can't get enough of. So he says that that the same is with kesef and with mitzvahs. It says in Koheles, oyev mitzvahs, oyev kesef, lo yizba kesef. If and there's no businessman who said, okay, I'm going to make $2 million, then I'm closing my store. He make $2 million, you want to make $4 million. Make $4 million, you want $8 million. So the Chazal say that, you know what, this is all a marshal for mitzvahs. Oyev mitzvahs, lo yizba mitzvahs. Oyev Torah, lo yizba Torah. A person whose life is mitzvahs, whose life is Torah, then he's never satisfied. He wants more and more. So that when we speak about that a person has to do a mitzvah with simcha, what has to come before that is that his life is Torah. His life is doing mitzvahs. And if his life is Torah and his life is doing mitzvahs, so memele, he'll never be satisfied. And memele, I have another chance. I could daven shachris now. Oh, now I can daven mincha. Now I can light Shabbos neiros. Now every mitzvah that I get is another chance to sit at the table with Hashem. And I can't get enough of it. That's what life is. So the Torah mitzvahs have to become kihem chayenu. That has to become our life. And if it becomes our life, memela, then there'll be besimcha as well. I'm just going to conclude with a thought I heard. Purim, the night of Purim, they had a beautiful asifa in Beis Medrash Gavoa, which I had the schus to attend till 2 in the morning. It was really a beautiful thing. The Rashivas were dancing in front of the oilam. Beautiful. So Rav Malkiel Kotler, the Rashiva of Beis Medrash Gavoa, spoke. So he said, we find that Yom Kippur, it's Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur is compared, I think the Zohar says, or the Arizal, I think it is, says that Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, there's a connection between Yom Kippur and Purim. So at first glance, these two holidays are diametrically, one is the opposite of the other. Purim is a day of festivity, of joy and happiness, and Yom Kippur is a very somber day. How did the two fit together? And he answered that Yom Kippur is the beginning towards the end of Purim. The goal is Purim. In other words, the pasuk says, it says that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Kachi darka shel Torah, paspa melech toichel, umayim surah tishta, v'ala oretz tishayin. The way of Torah is that a person is happy to eat a little bread, drink a little water, sleep on the floor. Im ato'isa kein, ashrecha v'tayvlach, ashrecha b'olam hazeh, v'tayvlach l'olam habah. So it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that our refrigerator, when we open it, should only have water and a piece of bread. It means that this is the way we're ready to sacrifice for Torah. If a person is ready to sacrifice like Torah, like Yom Kippur is where no frills. You don't have the gashmius on Yom Kippur. So that is leading up to Purim. Leading up to Purim is that we have the gashmius on Purim. Just the opposite. But if I'm able to live a life where I'm ready to sacrifice and have a Yom Kippur, have bread and water, have a Mayim B'Mitzura Tishta, and have the bare necessities, I'm a Mela, I'll have an appreciation for Torah mitzvahs. And a Mela, it'll come out that I'll have it great in this world, and I'll have it great in the world to come. If my pursuit is Gashmius, then I won't have it. But if my pursuit is spirituality and I'm ready to sacrifice and have the basic necessities, later on in life, if I'm prepared to do that, I'll come to the Purim level. That's how Purim and Yom Kippurim fit together. So Mela, we should take the lessons that we learned today for the whole year. The first lesson Rav Matisyahu Soloman gave us is we have to bring close our kroivim, not just the people who are far from us. We have to bring close those who are close to us. And the second lesson was Marbim b'simcha is simcha shal mitzvah. And as Rav Malkiel said, that if we sacrifice for Yiddishkeit, there may be things that are hard, but at the end, we'll look back at our lives and we'll say, Ashrecha v'toiv lach, it'll be a beautiful life in this world and a beautiful life in the world to come.